Niggas. That's gonna be a bitch to edit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages, you are now tuned into the world's most dangerous podcast, I Want All the Smoke. This is episode 152.
Yeah.
Cut niggas off when they're about to do the... Let's do that one more
time.
All
good.
The world's most dangerous podcast, I Want All the Smoke.
Smoke.
Boom. There we go. This is episode one. Boom. Episode 152. That's 152 episodes for your earlobes. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
How y'all niggas doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Chilling like a villain.
Jeez, right? We doing AKAs today? I know we flowed without the AKAs the week before last, and it kind of flowed good. We doing AKAs today? Are we past the AKAs? Have we grown?
I thought AKAs was a staple. The AKAs. But I want to ask.
Yeah.
What is chilling like a villain? Is that supposed to insinuate that you're chilling like... You're in jail because you've been caught, so there ain't nothing to do but chill? Or is it like chilling, like titty girls with titties wrapping packs behind you and you just chilling? Because it's like a villain, so it can't just be a regular chill.
I'll take the second one.
Yeah, no, I know what you'll take, but I'm asking you what you think it means.
Yo, I just know this shit rhymes. I heard niggas say it before.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I never knew what it actually
means. It's a good thing that you have deep thoughts about the language you use on a daily basis.
I think it's just a nigga thought he was slick because it was rhyming. He's like, yo, hey, Leroy, how you doing? Hey, chilling like a villain. What's buzzing, cousin?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how it went down. You know what I'm saying? And just some pimp nigga from Virginia. You too close to your mic, fam. You get one fist from the mic, pause. You gotta...
Yo, I'm literally like... That looks terrible. I'm two fists.
Do it again.
Yeah,
huh?
Right.
You're two fists from the mic?
Yo, this nigga told me...
Show me your one fist away.
Yeah. Let me push stream. Let me push stream.
Show me.
Boom, okay, go. No, I need to see the fist.
Yeah,
and then twist your wrist just so I know the circumference.
It should be like half a centimeter away from the fist. So if you could just like move the fist towards and away from your chin, just to show that it's actually that
and just to test the reverb, just
y'all niggas are
your top thumb poke, take your top palm out, thumb out, and then roll your top thumb a little bit just to see.
Yo, if you know, why don't you just. You need that type of shit in your life, bro. Like,
why would I that's a weird place to put your finger.
It is. But
it is.
It very much is. And it's a weird thing to want to see your nigga, you know,
do
weird shit.
To make sure. No, I just want to make sure that the spatial between the mic and the mouth is at the distance for the most optimal editing environment.
And that requires me twisting my wrists.
Well, it's a thorough mic check.
I need to know this. It's very thorough. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Anyways, it's your boy Black Juice, a.k.a. a.k.a. I hate light-skinned niggas fucking with me.
Holy shit.
You just hate... Goddamn. Okay. Okay, you just hate light-skinned niggas. That's cool. That's all right. I mean, we are the majority. Seen as niggas love white girls, so I'm just it's cool.
My girl isn't white.
Megan,
I knew that was dumb.
I have nothing to say. My girl's white.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
that. My girl's
it.
White.
I was just saying
nothing.
That time Patty did that. That was good shit. It was good.
Man,
shit.
I can't even get that shit out of my head. How was y'all's week? What'd y'all do? We're 2 week hiatus or a week with hiatus. How was y'all last couple of weeks? How'd y'all do? What y'all do?
Nothing, y'all. I was chilling like a villain.
Yeah. Just
what's buzzing, cousin?
Nah, man. Same here, man. It's been pretty nothing going on, man, lately. Really.
Your Seahawks have been
done.
Not too bad.
They done.
They haven't been too bad. I mean, Westbrook's out, right?
Yeah.
But you still got, what's his name? Metcalf.
Yeah, we still got Metcalf and Lockett, but Geno. Geno is not representing like I had hoped. So, I don't know, man. And plus, we're really behind on the season at this point. So, I don't know if it's happening this year.
It might, though. It's a longer season, 17 games this year, right?
No, anything could happen. And Russ Willie's supposed to be back by week 9. But shit, if Geno keeps digging a hole. And I can't say it's just Geno, the team, right? As always, the offensive line is just looks trash. Like, I don't know.
And speaking of sports, basketball's going again?
Yeah.
I feel like basketball just, like, they just won the championship 7 weeks ago.
Nah, it's been months.
Has it been months?
Yeah, I think what the finals was in July, late July this year.
Yeah.
August.
They probably just
September. So 2 months. So they had a 2 month break.
Well, they're just probably trying to get back on track.
Yeah.
Because they started the season late because COVID, and so I think after this it'll be the regular
in
June, not July, and then they get the 3-4 months or whatever.
Yo, you know what's crazy? Have you guys? I know you don't really watch ball, but did you see they changed a lot of like the foul calling rules now?
I did actually.
Nah.
Steph Curry is one of my favorite players, absolutely. But I'm still happy that they changed that rule because it was cheap as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
What was the rule? What rule did they change?
You can't kick out your leg and shit no more.
Jump into like you know when you pump fake the guy jumps in the air and you jump into him and cause like a shooting
foul.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can't like go hunting for fouls no more. They won't.
Yeah. And didn't they make the leg kickouts like an offensive foul now?
Yeah.
Like or something like that. So if you kick out the leg, because Steph was like famous for it. Somebody was saying Harden was having a hard time scoring.
Yeah, because you know Harden, what he does, he'll make the contact and then he'll actually hook his guy.
Yeah. And try and call as he runs by. Yeah. I hated. That's one of the reasons I've always not liked Harden.
So he's not getting like 30.
Have they updated the traveling rules? Have they updated the traveling rules? Because I seen niggas hold the ball, bounce it, hold the ball, and then bounce it again while taking 48 steps.
I think you're exaggerating, but.
Well, of course I'm exaggerating with 48 steps. But I mean like 5 steps. Like I've seen LeBron dribble, grab the ball, take 3 steps, and start dribbling again to cross half court, and nobody says anything. I've seen LeBron do that.
I've seen that too.
It's because they.
It was even more than 3 steps. It was literally like 6 steps. And there were no
sometimes. Sometimes when they're in the thick of the action, I noticed it, but they also have weird gather rules. Like when you're gathering the ball, they like almost don't count those steps. Do you know what
those
I mean?
Those steps,
like,
yeah. When you're going up for a dunk or something, or a layup or something.
Like the gathering rules are quite weird.
Well, it's similar to NFL in the sense like they give you like 2 steps to create control, right?
Yeah, something like that. Like so it shows that you have control of the ball. So if you have those 2 steps, it's showing that you establish control, and then it's a complete or something like that.
Yeah.
And then as you're picking up the ball, it's like that step is still on the last dribble. That's like I've actually seen videos where they broke down how Harden actually wasn't traveling.
Yeah.
Because when you see how he bounces and the step he takes, it's like he's actually not taking that step before the bounce. It's really weird, man. Like what he did is an actual skill.
Yeah.
Like that.
Now, do you
not even as a science almost like?
Yeah. Like, you had to fucking go on.
No, he just had that gather step like down to a science. Like he knew when to pick up the ball on what footing to get that extra step in there without technically having a travel. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually beautiful. It was.
Now speaking of sports, as the Joe Budden podcast would say, I could hear the vagina drying up, but I don't give a fuck. That was like a whole, I didn't even need to say all that, but speaking of sports, do you feel like when it comes to like sports that you watch, so football, baseball, hockey, and basketball, I know football in particular, but there's new rules and regulations that is softening up the game. And it feels like, you know how the whole softening up of like social media, people's feelings and da-da-da. But do you feel like the rules to your favorite sport are softening up that sport? If you look at how the sport was back in the heydays when you came up and grew to love that sport, or do you feel like the rules are making that sport better for the fans and the players?
Well, for NBA, this is like the first time in my lifetime I've seen rules actually toughen up the game. Mm-hmm. Like this year. Other than that, they've always...
Are you saying physically or skill-wise, though?
Both, because like now you can actually, okay, like, you actually have to be skilled. Like, you can't just flop and try and do dumb shit. Like, this is the first time, mm-hmm, I actually like the rule changes.
So what about the rule changes prior?
They were trying to make it soft as fuck, just so they can get more, like, so people could score more. But the game was getting so soft, and I think that was a criticism of NBA for so long, that they were like, okay, we're gonna start losing fans if, because I know lots of people that are like, I can't even watch NBA no more. Like, it's so stupid.
Definitely not the same as when I was watching it in the 90s and early 2000s.
And even with these rule changes, it's not going back to that, but at least it's not progressing in the way that it was, you know?
What about you, I?
I thought that guys were getting pretty crafty with the fouls, but and stuff, especially in the NBA, but I think that it actually added to it, because I actually like more scoring. I actually like the fact that it, like, some of the bully ball that you're talking about, when it would be like, niggas would be like, dribble up, turn around, back him down for like 8 dribbles. They'd be like in the post. Like, that shit was actually quite boring. And it's the reason why you didn't watch, mm-hmm, basketball, like, unless you were a fan then. Right. I do think it opened up the game. The ratings have increased over time. It's become a lot more popular of a sport, even in the 2000s or whatever eras. It's only increased in popularity, basketball, and it hasn't regressed. I don't think that the rules have regressed it. I think they've progressed it, so...
I do totally understand what you're saying, but what is the biggest criticism with NBA? It's always like, you can't watch 2 minutes without the guy going... Like, there's just foul shots every fucking second. And the scoring's going higher because people are shooting way more foul shots. Like, if the rules were like this in the 90s... And keep in mind, NBA games now take, like, well, maybe not this year, but prior to this, the rule change, NBA, mm-hmm, games take like 2.5 hours.
They still do.
Yeah, because of the fucking, the foul shots. I think games will go much faster now without all the foul shots.
Yeah, I agree. No. What I'm saying with the rule changes, if we're talking about the foul shots themselves, I'm glad that they've cut them down, and I didn't like cheap fouls. Okay, but yeah. I do like the fact... I thought we were talking about rule changes, not just all of them, right? Okay, they changed a lot of the hand check rules and shit like that, so you couldn't back people down with 3 in the paint. I do find the game is a lot more fluid. I actually find that, you know, at first, you know what I thought the defense was like really suffering, but now that I kind of watch it, there's actually the switch ups and shit. There is a good, I actually think the defense is engaging, man. Watching the D and how they do the switch ups and cover. Now, I agree, Thaddy. Sometimes you don't like it because they get the switch and then you got mismatches. But I find even getting those mismatches is part of the game, and like finding the mismatch, you know what I mean? And not letting them recover from it.
From what you're saying, I don't know if there was really rule changes that, like, the things that you're saying you enjoy, I don't know those are rule change, are because of rule changes. I think just certain players just changed the game. Like, you have Steph Curry that, like, made shooting threes super popular. So now you actually got to guard guys out 35 feet out. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it wasn't just Steph Curry, actually. If you look when there was a point in time they were doing analytics. And they actually found that it is it's actually better to shoot more threes if you're going to hit them, right? So,
because you only got to shoot a three.
Steph Curry popularized it.
Yeah. But even like the backing down, like, it's because now guys that are like 6'9", almost 7 foot, are actually skilled.
They've been practicing more with more finesse.
But the rules haven't really changed for, like, especially like in the post. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's been big rule changes there. I just like the hand checking is one thing that probably that definitely sped up the game. Other than that, I'm trying to think of what else was a real game changer as far as style of play. I just didn't like all the cheap quick fouls. Like, everything was a fucking foul. I hated that.
Yeah, I hated that too. I don't like the fouls, but see, I was trying to read because I couldn't remember. I couldn't cite the rule, but they did strategically did a rule. So I think it was like 5 seconds in the post so that players can't do that back down post shit, which is what the whole game was. It was like throwing into Shaq. He'd be in a post, turn around. Like, and it was like the games were like scoring 80. Here, I brought up the rule. I'll cite it to you in a second.
I thought three in the key has always been a rule, like since I've always played ball.
Yeah, no, it's not the three in the key. It's something else. Let me see. I'm going to look at this quick. Sorry, I didn't know this was a topic or I would have pre-read this. So y'all,
I didn't know it was a topic. I didn't know it was a topic either.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about sports, and I was thinking about the rules. I was thinking about that and football too, like the rough and the passer rule. I feel like the rough and the passer rule has really softened up football, made it so quarterbacks can rush a lot easier, unencumbered. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah, I was just thinking about the rules, and you guys watch basketball, so I wanted to get an opinion of some sports fanaticos. On a sport that I don't watch, if it's a trend that's happening in all sports, or if it's just something I'm just seeing in football by itself. So yeah, I just wanted to throw that at y'all. I didn't think it was going to be a topic. I just, you know, yeah. But y'all niggas is smart ass, brilliant niggas. So I'm just not smart ass as far as smart asses, even though you are. Yeah. But smart.
So the new the new rules seem to de-emphasize isolation play and the big man's control of the paint by introducing a defensive 3-second rule, which is what we said, but also eliminating illegal defense guidelines and allowing for those zone defenses, which is allowing. I knew they switched something up defensively, and it was when they allowed, because remember, zone defense for the longest time you weren't allowed to play it.
Not in NBA.
Right? So, yeah. So it changed that. So yeah. I know that changed and kind of sped up the game doing some of that because it was getting boring. That does big it, man post back.
Yeah, it does speed up. I don't know if it speeds up the. It just allows for more.
Well, because you can have more movement and shit.
Not in the inside. It definitely allows for more shooting.
Do you think speeds up the game or quickens the pace of the game? So the games are the same length, but it just quickens up the pace of the game, maybe.
No, really what it does is it takes away from, like, yeah, like you said, from that big man just being able to go there and dominate, because if he tries to go in the post, he's going to get double teamed quick. Like, it's hard to post up in a zone. Yeah. But I don't know if that speeds up the game.
The reason why I said it speeds up the game is because when 80% of the possessions was that, it became a very stale, they dribble down, get it to Shaq. He spends like 10 seconds in the post, backing someone down. Like, it was, I even stopped watching for a while because of it, to be completely honest. And that's in the era when it was like 84. Like, games are like going to 84 and shit.
Fair enough.
So you're saying that it's made it better?
In my opinion. And I get it. I'm not saying that this is a fact. I'm just speaking my opinion here.
Just opinion. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't say. It's possible to say the games are better is a fact or not a fact, because that's 100% subjective.
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be people that would be like, nah, I like the, you know what I'm saying? I like the old 2000 style. And someone say, I like the 95 style.
Some
I like
people
the Dr.
like that
J
old
style.
School bully ball fucking hard in the paint, which is fine. I get it. It had its appeal, but I do think that the games were just not as entertaining. I like the ball movement now. I do like the defensive switch ups. I think it adds strategy. That's just me.
Also, the players are just way more skilled, not like
athletic. Yeah, it's insane.
And now you get two or three superstars on a team. Like, back in the day, you had like one superstar per three teams,
and then a substar.
Yeah, exactly.
Substars that are good supporting roles and stuff.
It says here that they and I actually didn't know this until I read this, so it's interesting. It says here that they also reduce the amount of timeouts and shorten them.
Mm-hmm.
So that
they shorten the timeout.
Yeah. You remember you could have those 20-second timeouts.
Yeah,
the
20 and the 90. Yeah. Wasn't there 90-second timeouts too?
Yeah, there was like two different kinds of timeouts.
Now you don't get the 20-second timeouts. No
you
more.
Just get 3 30s and that's it. Yeah. Like you got to really choose them shits.
Now, do you feel that you guys enjoy the game now more than you did back in the day? Because now the older you are. Last question. You're paying more attention to the plays, how the game is played rather than the playing of the game. You're looking at the plays. You're looking at what so-and-so is doing. You're looking at how they're getting to the basket rather than when we were kids, we just saw them going to the basket. And it was just fun to watch.
I mean, I'm a basketball head, so I've always really understood ball IQ from a younger age. is definitely way more complex now, and it's like it, like I said, like the way they switched on pick and rolls and screens is completely different. Like now you'll never see a guy fight a screen underneath. He always goes around because you have people like James Harden and Curry that, like, the moment you go underneath, they can shoot like that. So you have to go behind them, which is crazy. Like, you would never see people guarding you from behind in the NBA back in the day. So, I mean, those things are pretty, it's pretty dope. I think the game's definitely evolved. I like the old school. It just might be my nostalgia, but from a technical standpoint,
I understand that too.
From a technical standpoint, it's evolved better today. It's better.
And I'm actually going to get right onto the soapbox and, like, make the pussy dry up more. But I agree with it even in football as well, to be, believe it or not, because I.
But you agree with roughing the passer? That those the court, the rules for the quarterback?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You hurt my soul. Tell me why, because you're hurting
you
my
know
soul.
Why?
Tell me why.
Because I like Aaron Rodgers, and when he's hurt, I just don't watch the game. I don't watch the game, nigga. They want people to watch the games. I can't. There's only one team I will fucking watch when their star quarterback is hurt, and that is my team. That is the Seahawks, and that even is painful shit. Hey, man, if your stars are down, I don't watch the shit. Period.
You know,
and the quarterbacks are the worst for it, too. Like, I won't watch. Mm-hmm. If Mahomes is hurt, I do not watch the Chiefs. If fucking, right. You know, I just don't. Like, straight up, it's a painful watch. I don't like it. I could see the ratings plummeting, like, even harder than basketball when they take them those quarterbacks out. So, hey, if that means, because I seen, like, Aaron Rodgers get hit, break his collarbone, and then he's out for 6 weeks. Like, there goes their ratings. There goes their season. There goes their, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Tony Romo and the Cowboys.
Yeah, nigga getting hurt. So, I know it is pussy shit, and I do. I'm not saying I agree with all of the roughing the passer calls. I'm not saying that I agree with that, but I do think you have to protect the quarterbacks. I just don't watch the game. I don't watch other games, and when they're hurt,
that's funny. Two things. I think part of the allure of football though was that, like, anyone could get hurt at any time, and that sense of danger is kind of like what's really appealing about football. But second of all, are injuries worse now in the NFL than they were, let's say, like 15, 20 years ago? Or like more?
No.
Because I find in basketball.
They're not worse, but you're.
I find with basketball, all the superstars are always fucking injured. And back in the day when you had Jordan rules,
they
where you
never were.
When you can beat niggas up, they were never injured.
And you know what? I actually feel like football, like, injuries are worse in football. I know Will said no.
I don't think they're more the worst. I think they're more because back in the day, like, because when I'll watch, like, the old NFL, the old NFL fucking films and shit, and it's like so and so, it's like John Diefenbaker from the 1969 Seahawks, and it's like, dude played with two broken legs and his eye was out of the socket.
You're talking about the one where the music was like
until the off season. So it's like
the straight fucking army tunes and shit.
Yeah, so there's like injuries, but I feel like now
they take them out. Well, you know,
I don't think they take them out, so I don't think the injuries are worse, but they're more, when there is any type of an injury, you'll see it more because they want to protect people more than they did.
They want to protect people because they want to shake the whole thought. Like, one of the things they always make fun of the NFL is they say the NFL stands for not for long. And that's because niggas just get fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, so you're like, bodies aren't the human body is not meant to run into each other at the highest speed,
at a top speed.
You know what I mean? And football, like, holy shit. I'm going to say one thing I always say to my girl, like, when they put the camera at like an eye line. Like, not the over level, like, those motherfuckers are fast. Like, I am not, I like when you, because when you watch it overhead, sometimes you're like, oh, that hit looked kind of bad. But when they when you watch it at eye line, they are like burning rubber, man. Like, they're just like.
That's why I like those NFL films, bro. Like, and some, like. But the only thing I don't, like, the roughing the passer, I agree. I do agree with protecting the quarterback at all costs. But there's roughing the pass. There's the roughing the passer penalty, the rule.
Yeah.
But. There's no clear consensus on what roughing the passer is. And every game you'll watch, you'll see one thing that was, so let's say you watch four games. Mm-hmm. Game one, a roughing the passer call. Game two, same hit happens. It's not roughing the passer. Game three, the passer didn't get touched and it's roughing the passer. Game four, nobody goes near the quarterback and this quarterback rush more than his running back. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, there's no consistency to it. So you're just like, yo, like, what the hell is going on? Like, have a clear roughing the passer rule. Mm-hmm. Right, if it's over this down, if your head's down, if you hit him between above or below a certain area, if he how many seconds after he throws the ball or steps after or how many steps into the hit you're giving, like, make it clear.
Well,
and then I think it would make sense.
So I agree with you, and like I said, just like any call for any rule, I don't agree with all the calls. I think that refs make mistakes, mm-hmm. they miss calls, they do things. I still would like to see, because I've watched tons of games. And most of the roughing the passer calls, I don't disagree with. Most.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I disagree with some. Yo, don't drive the dude into the ground, man, because you just hurt them and you hurt the ratings. Like, it's still a business.
There's clear, right? There's clear roughing the passer calls. Yeah, so like, maybe not most then, but a lot of inconsistencies with it. And a lot of people that are just scared to hit the quarterback.
That's the thing that I don't. That okay, so now the whole, like, there is a weird fear to almost hit the quarterback now.
Yeah.
And, like, he gets a couple extra yards because dudes don't want to, like, push him out of bounds or... Like I said, I don't agree with it completely, but I do think you got to protect those guys, man, just because they are the linchpins of the offense, which is the excitement of the game. Like,
now, I do want to add this as a caveat because we got to wrap it up. We're at 26 minutes on sports, but yeah. I want to add this as a caveat. A lot of idols' conversation today about roughing the passer does come off the heels of his quarterback for his team being injured off of a bad hit. So,
but I will say this, just to say to Thaddeus' point, even with all those fucking rules, my nigga still hurt. Like, that's the point, man. Like, I don't find them. There's still, hey, I was going to say, just to respond to Thaddeus before we go on, in football, you still are worried play to play that your favorite players are going to be hurt. That has not reduced at all. And, like, and these niggas are making, like, not a billion, but even, like, 40 million.
A lot of money.
You don't want to fuck up their ACL and make them play on it anymore. Nothing like that. You know what I mean? You want to protect. Yeah. You get a lot of money, so.
Yeah.
And you really don't have players like you did back in, like, the 70s and 80s whose sole purpose was to permanently injure players. Like,
and it was, and the whole game was playing through it, because if you didn't, you weren't tough and you were getting cut. Mm-hmm. It was all about tough. But now dudes have tons of money, realizing, you ever see some certain, like, in the old, if you look, go back to the old school and then look at the old players from then, they're, like, almost crippled walking. Yeah. Like, even some of the basketball, you look at Kenny Smith. Because
the cortisone's worn off.
Yeah, like, they just played themselves.
They don't even look like they were ever athletes. Like, Charles Barkley does not look like he was ever an athlete.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Look at Terry Bradshaw. He looks like all of his joints are just rubbing on each other. His knuckles are huge.
So,
like,
I mean, you got guys who are making, you know, $300 million, which is, like, generational money, and they don't want to just be, like, not able to move. So, yeah. And then the NFL is way more ruthless than the NBA, which is a talk we could have, because in the NFL, you could just get cut. They can't do that to you in the NBA, right? Like, the NFL is...
No guaranteed money.
No.
How am I going to transition into this? Speaking of getting cut abruptly, Alec Baldwin.
Oh.
No? No? That's not good, is it?
Speaking about yelling cut, I don't know. Because it was the director,
speaking
right?
Of shooting your shot. Speaking of shooting your shot. I mean, Idol, who put the Baldwin in there? You want to hit him up with the Baldwin conversation?
Yeah, I was just wondering what you guys thought about that, and, like, what you thought about the whole thing about Alec Baldwin killing that one person. And I don't know, it's not as relevant. I had put it in there last week, to be honest, but I just wanted to know, like, if you guys thought, I don't know. My main question was why does there, I guess there's a little bit of realism to seeing a gun shoot with real bullets in it, like, if they're not shooting at anything. But nowadays, Hollywood, with fucking the Avengers and Infinity Gauntlets and snapping away half the universe, like, are we really need so much realism that you have to have real bullets on a movie set at all? Like, it's just stupid.
Well, First of all, I'm thinking, like, regardless of realism, you can have blanks that shoot and little squibs that explode on wood and da-da-da at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you can, with editing and digital movie magic, I don't know the real name for it right now. I don't know why it's slipping me, but whatever. CGI, sorry.
Oh, that,
you
oh,
could,
sure.
It look, yeah, it could look as real as possible.
Yeah.
You can have a gun that's empty and just does the actions when you're shooting and make gunshots and everything like that through CGI, you'll know, and everything like that. I have no, I have literally no idea, and I can't put into a situation where on a movie set, a gun would need to have real bullets. I can see blanks, and blanks are dangerous, and they have protocols for blanks, and where you have to stand and everything like that for realism and shit like that. I can't see why real live rounds would be set. In a gun on
why,
set.
Why would they, why are they even on set, let alone in the gun? Like,
yeah.
In the same gun that has blanks in it. So you think you would have the, and if they're going to do it, like you said, if they're going to be like, we're going to, this one where you're shooting around, so we're just going to shoot at the wall and the wood and the grounds for realism and shit. Like, hey, that's dangerous as fuck. Ricochet, you don't know what the ricochet is going to go. But why would the live rounds be in the same gun as the blank rounds?
Budget? I don't know. That's the only reason why I could think. It, I mean, that even goes for the CGI conversation. Like, I mean, if you've ever done anything, the practical effects, if you could pull them off, are usually drastically cheaper than some geek behind a computer fucking spending 40 hours just to put one fire plume out of one gun shot. Like,
right.
And you have 34,000 of them this movie. So, like, I get that, but I still don't understand.
I can see that with the blanks.
But isn't the point of blanks, don't they give off like the same recoil as a bullet? Basically, that's why they use them.
Well, I think with blanks, it's like they mimic a real bullet, and then you got squibs either in the person or exploding squibs on pieces of the set that look like the bullets ricocheting while the actors dodge shit. I still don't see the cause for a real
bullet. I don't understand why are real bullets even on set? Like, why would they even get on set?
When I looked it up, because I did kind of just look it up briefly, and don't get me wrong, it's not like I did an hour of research on this, but it did have something to do with the realism and the discharge and the fire. It just looked a little more real. Like, because don't forget, even, I don't know if you get the same discharge, because I know it's like little
probably
wads
not.
Of... Because then you'd even have to edit that out, right? Like, I don't know.
Oh, so they'll fire like real rounds.
It fires shit. Well, not around it. Like they say, it's like a wad of cotton or like a little. It's like a wad of material. That's why even with blanks, like you can't shoot that shit point blank with a blank in there.
No, you got to be like, it's like there's a regulation about how many feet you got to go. Like that's what happened to Brandon Lee. There was something.
No, but Brandon
was
Lee
like
was
a misfire.
The,
was a blank?
No,
it was.
I think it was the same thing, and nigga got shot with a real bullet.
Okay.
Which is why
I thought with Brandon
that.
Lee was a misfire of a blank, because they do shoot projectiles, and sometimes if a blank misfires, the projectile will be the shell of the bullet, and it could come out less with less velocity, but still at killing velocity. I think it's at Brandon Lee, but no, if it's a live bullet, then it's like, okay, so you need the live bullets for realism. Then I mean, common sense would say, this is the gun for the blanks, this is the gun for the live rounds. The editing will make the shit look seamless.
But I think the
you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I think one of the problems is from what I was reading, of course, again, and I haven't been like into the whole movie industry for long, but I guess because there is no such thing as a prop gun. Like there is no such thing. Like all the prop guns are real guns, right? Like they don't have a fake gun that doesn't shoot bullets, and that's what they use on sets, which you would think fucking with Hollywood and how much budget they have, they should make versions, but
I mean, if I'm playing Nintendo, I give my little brother the controller that's not plugged in. You can have two real things, and one's like, you can do it. One has this, one has that, right? One has blank, one has live. You know what I'm saying?
I just hope you don't forget.
Engrave something in the... No, just engrave a little line on the bottom and you check it. And before you use it, open it. Oh, yeah. All of these are blanks. So that's the thing that fucks me up. Like, even with this, they checked the gun, went to lunch, came back and used the gun. Didn't come back and check the gun. This is why some of this shit looked a little fishy
for a little while there.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear this conspiracy now, that... I guess she was what was she, a director of photography, but her next film that she was working on was a like Hollywood pedophile like expose.
Oh, is that what? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Is that what they're saying? I don't know. I haven't heard that.
If that's the truth, though, you never know, man. Them niggas protect their own.
This is the conspiracy that I got, okay? So it had a lot to do with the assistant director because he was in charge of that shit, right? And they're saying that the assistant director is a huge Trump supporter. And the conspiracy that I got is because remember Alec Baldwin used to do the Trump on Saturday Night Live and had the Trump impressions and make fun of Trump, and he's huge, incredibly anti-Trump. Now, the conspiracy that I got is they gave Alec Baldwin the gun with the live round in it on purpose, the hopes that would this go down to ruin Alec Baldwin's career. That's the conspiracy shit that I come in. And then Donald Trump Jr. has the shirts that he's starting to sell. He's selling these shirts that say guns don't kill people. Alec Baldwin kills people, which is taking the spotlight off of the true people who are responsible for this, because all Alec Baldwin, he's an actor.
Exactly.
He just got the gun that he was given, trusted it.
And that's the gun he uses. It really was like the equipment director's fault for like, and then they came out stories that they were just like bucking the gun off for fun in the desert the night before, and that's why bullets get
there's
left
a lot
in
of
it
extra
or some
shit.
I didn't follow the story all week, so I heard, I did see a couple headlines where they had come up with some advancements in the case, but
it's real to me. It seems like it's real erroneous. Like there's a lot of stuff that's coming out. I noticed that the New York Post is saying a lot of shit, but the New York Post is, you know what I'm saying? Like that's more tabloid than the Calgary Sun, if you ask me. The New York Post is wild. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know, man. All I know is that at the end of the day, I don't have. If anybody has the shit in front of them, as far as like this young lady's name. You know what I'm saying? I feel for
Hutchins.
Her family. Helena Hutchins. I feel for her family, her and her kids, her husband. And at the same time, Alec Baldwin, who now has this on his conscience that he was not responsible, but he his actions caused the death of another human, which if you're an empathetic person, that'll fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely will fuck with you. So it's definitely sad all around, and I hope it was a mistake, and I hope whoever was responsible for this mistake pays for it, and I hope it isn't. I hope it doesn't get turned into some political. You gotta go. You got extra stuff happening. Daddy always leaving in the middle of shit.
No doubt.
He always gone with the little mere basketball, extra love for his kids room shit. But so that's what I'm saying. But it's a crazy situation though. To be honest with you, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I thought so too, man. I just wanted to, like, it's apparently there's quite a few people who have died on movie sets, I guess, from between 1990 and 2016. At least 43 people have died in the sets on the
Jesus,
U.S.
Jesus, 43?
Yeah, and more than 100.
By the same way, with guns?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's all guns. Jeez. I don't know if it's all guns. But more than 150 have been left with life-altering injuries.
Yeah, I know a lot of stunt people, like some of the, like from all the Fast and Furiouses and different shows that we like to watch, even down to like, I think that one zombie movie that just came out not too long ago, where they're in Vegas or something like that. Like a stunt people do risk life and limb, and some they lose limb too, getting these things too. So, but to say how many actors, because I know with that 40 and 150, it's a lot of the stunt workers and behind the scenes people.
I didn't, it didn't have a deeper into the stat. Mm-hmm. I just picked it up for fun. So,
which is still crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like nobody wants to go to work and not come home after.
Yeah,
that's wild. That's why I couldn't do no stunt work shit. Like I couldn't be no Tom Cruise nigga doing my own stunts. It's like no, if you have somebody that I don't have to pay for that will jump off this building for me,
doing it.
I'll buy him a drink every time he does my stunts, bro. Yeah. Every time, every night. I ain't doing that shit.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves bought his whole stunt team Rolexes at the end of John Wick 4.
I can see it.
Keanu Reeves is a real good dude. You never notice he never touches anybody he's in pictures
with. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is like a real, like...
Yeah, like he's making sure it's on the up and up.
He's Canadian, that's why.
Yeah. Is he?
He is.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. From where?
You know that.
Probably Ontario.
From Canada. I'm joking. You're a dink.
Nah.
Yes, I'm a radio edit. I get it.
Yo, as soon as this dude gets his mic right, he got something to say.
Yeah.
As soon as he wanna talk about he Canadian from Canada. How y'all feeling about the weather though? It's a little snowy out there.
It is, but it looked like it melted and is gone. So I'm not calling it winter yet. Snow has to stay.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
it's not on your grass. Oh, you in the part of the hood where the ground stays warm.
Like, yeah, nigga. Good part.
Can't have.
Sun shines over here.
It's radioactive, bro. It's not such a...
It's not radioactive, nigga.
Yo, Ogden is radioactive, bro.
I don't live in Ogden, so I'm all good.
Where do you live?
That's where I grew up. And only the portion of Ogden that's radioactive, they evacuated. Thank you. And it is not where my house was.
Did they evacuate them, or did they just say, yo... Spend a couple of nights at the...
They didn't evacuate. They just died.
No, first of all, they didn't die. But if you even just go drive through the neighborhood, it's ghost. It's creepy as fuck. Just empty houses and shit.
Yeah.
Where do you live now? Because you always talking about you just live on the other side of the train tracks from Will.
I do. I live in Aaron Woods.
Yeah. Okay.
Forest Lawn, Aaron was Ogden's way on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's on the other side of Deerfoot. Do they still got the chicken factory down there? Fuck, Ogden was a funky smelling fucking neighborhood back in the day.
First of all, they never that had a chicken factory back down there, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they had the Lilydale chicken processing plant is in Ogden. What are you talking about?
The Lilydale chicken processing plant is on the edge of downtown by the Shamrock Hotel.
Which is
that's
right
not
by
Ogden.
Ogden. No. It's like block. Okay, doggy. So blocks away from Ogden.
Are you joking right now?
You downwind.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding right now?
The Shamrock Hotel is right by Ogden.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't get me wrong. It's not far, but it's definitely not walking distance.
It's super far.
No, but like it's like a three-minute drive.
Nah, not three. No.
It's what? Quick.
You go,
okay,
you go
maybe
south.
Okay,
if you
if
drive
I'm mistaken,
south,
I'm mistaken.
If you drive south on, you'll be on Ogden Road, but then you still have to go all the way down. And then you turn right, you go all the way down past the breweries and shit, you turn again, you go over
you know what, the bridge, which is where the thing is. That's what's fucking me up.
Then you
no, that's
still
what's
have to go
because,
past
because,
the dog park, the thing.
To the safe
area.
Like, yeah,
come
the back
on,
of the
man.
Safe
so like,
that shit is that's
not
what's fucking me up. That's what's fucking me up. It's Ogden Road. It's on Ogden Road.
It's a quick drive at like 60 kilometers an hour. I'm not I agree with you. It's not close.
It's 10 minutes.
It's on Ogden. It's on Ogden Road, so it's Ogden adjacent.
It's 10 minutes.
10 minutes in a car. I don't know about that.
It's not 10 minutes at yeah. 4 p.m. on a Tuesday.
No, man, it's not. How many minutes you think?
I'd say like 10. 5.
It's but yo, it's
five
on Ogden
minutes
Road. Like it's
Sham
right away from
Ogden,
Ogden Road.
Yo, you
so
you take,
it
you
is crazy.
It is. It's Ogden adjacent.
Yo, nigga,
it's Ogden adjacent.
You got a new car
too.
I know you ain't driving Miss Daisy out there, nigga. It ain't taking you 10 minutes to get from there, like.
Guy, it was a 40-minute bus. I took it every day for years.
Yeah, that's because the bus goes this way.
But that's my point,
hold. It's too much. It's too much for 90% of the people who have no idea what we're talking about.
That's true.
I don't even know why. Fuck, my bad. Busta Rhymes versus. It is in my humble opinion that there isn't an artist now, before, or after that can even grace a versus stage with Busta Rhymes and survive. Even if it's as friendly and loving as it is, there's no one that can even... the public court of opinion will have the other party wanting to leave that stage.
Okay, so you know who I think is the closest. I won't even say he's a worthy opponent, really, but the only person I could think of would be Ludacris.
Okay, expand.
I think Ludacris has enough hits. He's very animated like Busta, but he's also very animated. Busta Rhymes is obviously more animated, but they're both animated type rappers, and they're both got great stage presence.
Now think about Busta Rhymes on the stage. I've been to maybe I think two or three Busta Rhymes concerts where you were there.
I've only been to one, so.
Only one? Okay, so I've been to one Busta Rhymes concert where you were there. I think it was at the Palace nightclub. I've been to more Busta Rhymes concerts than I can fucking count. Now think about Busta Rhymes on stage. Now think about another. Now, do you remember anything else that was on stage with him?
Yeah, Spliff Star.
Other than Spliff, like Busta and Spliff is one thing. You won't remember the other artists. And I think Ludacris, as soon as Busta Rhymes grabs that mic and Busta's that mic, I think Ludacris is just going to be there. Ludacris, he might as well just wear a necklace that says Ludacris on it, because you're gonna forget all about Ludacris, especially if it happens in Madison Square Garden.
True, I'm not saying Ludacris is really has a chat, but who do you have any other? Is there anyone like people throw Missy Elliott around, but I think aesthetically, I think people just compare their music videos. But if you put them on stage together, I don't even think it's a good matchup. You know, like their music is actually very, very different. They just got similar music videos.
And Missy's laid back on stage.
Yeah. And you know, when I saw Busta.
So are we talking about verses like in crowd energy or actual songs and tracks?
Well, I'm talking about in verses of how verses is now.
Like the format on.
So crowd presence does so it's like, mean shit.
Of course it has to do with tracks, but those tracks move the crowd. Right, so you can have so, and I think the verses that stapled what verses is now is the Dipset versus the Lox. Whereas you have a song that's not a mega hit, but the crowd loses it when that shit comes on, and now you're on stage, hype, bringing that crowd's energy up more and more and more and more and more. Right?
Yo, so, I actually got a suggestion.
I bet you any money. I think Red and Meth.
Ooh.
Could actually hold down Busta and Spliff.
Ooh.
And to be honest, I will say this. Especially because Busta Rhymes put on like 100 pounds. Meth and Red.
First of all, wherever you're about to go, I don't fucking like it. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think I'm happy with the direction of the conversation.
I'm just saying the movement on stage is different. Busta still like got great stage presence. He's a. Have you guys ever seen Pusha T live?
Yeah.
You know, Pusha. He's not like he's running back and forth, but he's just like he has so much much shit in his face that like his face is like just. Animated and powerful. That's what Busta really does. He's not like running around on stage doing the shit Red and Meth do. Especially Meth. In my opinion, sound like blasphemy. I think Meth is a better performer than Busta Rhymes.
Personally. Well,
you know what?
With Spliffstar and the way they interacted, I don't think you're gonna find a better duo. Mm-mm. And it's funny and the actions and just the way it is. Like, but I don't know. I think Red and Meth, man.
Yeah.
Cause I tell you right now, the dunks, when someone gets a pass from a ball and they dribble it down wide open, they dunk it, how wild that dunk is, a windmill or whatever, that's fly as fuck. You're like, ooh. But when someone gets an alley-oop and they windmill that shit, that's just like the extra icing on the cake. And I think Spliff is that alley-oop for Busta.
It's a great point,
but
guard.
Red Man and Method Man?
That's like Kobe and Shaq.
It's like two point guards and two scoring ass guards.
Like, they're just, they don't pass the ball, but
they keep passing it. It's like NBA Jam. So, you know, when you jump in the air and you pass it to the nigga that jump in the air, they pass it to the nigga that jump in the air, then finally slam it. Yeah. I never thought of Red and Meth Idol. That is good. I think that's the only thing I could see is Red Man and Method Man.
But I don't think Red and Meth have the catalog and the hits like Busta. Like, that's where I feel like Ludacris actually has like a catalog of hits.
Right.
Yeah, but
If you look at Redman and Method Man's joint shit together and their hype, like,
yeah, like can they do pick it up and whatever, man, and fucking or are we anything only off letting the blackout? Because it might not be fair if Busta, because Spliff ain't got tracks. I mean, he does, but no. Come on.
Yeah, facts.
And Busta like has a catalog.
Busta catalog together, like that's a lot.
You're right. So there is an unfair. I was just trying to get stage
Redman
presence.
Redman and Method Man, bro. You think about what the album and Tikal, and then let's say they start bouncing those tracks off
each
other.
Yeah, but that's the point. Imagine, but that's not fair to take two legends and they get two discographies.
Yeah,
that's why me and Thaddy were like, that's true. That's not
okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, but in the vein of things as far as moving the crowd and presence and songs that throw that fucking shit. Yeah, it's like if you do a versus with Travis Scott, you got to get another artist that's a festival artist in there, because there's a difference between festival artists and arena artists. And club artists like Travis Scott, even though how dope he is and how he moves the crowd, he's a festival artist. You know what I'm saying? Same with
but he also has like Billboard radio tracks that like
exactly. But they bang out most in the festivals. Mm. Like you'll have a whole festival going wild because all of his songs are like anthemy, airy, spread out, jump around. Dude, you know what I'm saying? Sorry? Even the mellow ones. Travis Scott.
Oh yeah.
DaBaby the same way. DaBaby, I think. As far as new cats, he's like the new, like, not anime like Busta Rhymes, but new cat-wise, whereas a lot of his songs that hit arena style, hit festival style, hit crowd pumping style,
and if
right?
We even,
so you got to look at...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry. Go on.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, you got to look at some of these hits that you can have hits. Like, Drake has hits, but most of Drake's hits aren't rock the arena or rock the festival hits, whereas I think all of Busta's hits and even low-key ones that aren't hits... are rock the arena, rock the thing. And I think Redman and Method Man, everything that they do rocks the arena, rocks the crowd, rocks the festival type shit. So yeah, there's some shit you gotta look at too.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, one of the biggest like festival rocks I've ever seen in my life was DMX. That shit took my breath away. Just watching fucking the whole, like, I'm talking in a scene.
That was when he was in Africa,
just,
right?
No, that was Woodstock.
Oh, I thought, like, that was Africa, where he sold out Africa.
No, but he's talking about the Woodstock when he's wearing those red overalls, right?
Yeah. That was, and it's just like,
no, is that Woodstock? I thought that was in Africa.
I just want. I'm like, yo, if my whole career culminated into one moment, I could have like that, where just because I can't even imagine. Imagine
just
the
a billion white people,
180,000 people,
a billion
imagine
white
the
people.
Power, just like the. This whole planet, like, give me more crack. Like, no wonder the nigga, like, I don't know. I was just saying, no wonder the nigga was just because. What could you do?
Good Lord.
What do you do?
Good Lord.
You just have, like, to, like, you're just like, yo.
What do you mean, what do you do? You just say DMX was an awesome artist and keep it moving, you know?
I feel like an experience like that, you wouldn't even need crack. Like, because I've been on stage where it's like, there's like, well, 20 the people in the crowd that know
wrong.
The song that I'm
history
singing. I'm like,
will tell you
I
that
feel
you're
like I'm
wrong.
High, you know?
You are wrong.
But here's the thing. Do you need it after?
Yeah, like the,
because you,
the
because
come down,
how
right?
Do you, how do you hit those heights?
Yeah.
Like yesterday I was in the middle
another
of-
concert. Shit.
Yeah, but that's not going to help me tomorrow night. Like, I can't set that shit up nightly.
And you know what's crazy? You can't do that. Like, when you're talking about that Woodstock shit, you can't do that like every Saturday.
Like, no, that's what I mean.
Like, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy, though? On that tip, the human brain is a fucking asshole. Because you will hit that high off of whatever the fuck it is you do. And then when you get to that same pinnacle again, your brain will be like, nah, it's not enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's say the first time you slam two girls at the same time. And while you're doing it, it's just like, it's euphoria. And then when you're all done, you're laying down, you're like, And then if you do it again in the next couple of days, and it's like, I need more. You know what I'm saying? And it's probably the same thing with the festival thing. Shut up, Otto. And
with the festival thing, like, you just, like, if you spread it out. Like, because you know what? You know what it reminds me of? Because it's so funny that Will would have it with slamming too and thinking. Because, yo, in my early days, I took mushrooms and I had like such a good time that I felt like I could do them again tomorrow. And it just wasn't like, you got to spread it out, nigga.
It wasn't this. Yo, the same shit happened with when I was doing ecstasy back in the 2000s. It got to the point where I'm just throwing ecstasy down for no fucking reason. Like, it's not hitting the same way. You're trying
time.
To catch that, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with like the festivals, like DMX. Like, say you start doing 180,000 people every night, it's going to get to the point where
you don't wanna do want 50 more. You're just like, yo, I you don't do those, you know, small what I'm saying? Shows no more.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah, and that's why I think the human brain is a dickhead.
That's actually one of the beautiful things about alcohol. Like, I usually have fun every time I drink.
But it's not the same fun. It's different fun every time.
I don't know the first time I had a drink was like the greatest time. I'm still chasing that high. Like,
I don't think I get high when I'm
drunk. Nah, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm saying,
because you get that healthy buzz. Yeah, because with drinking, if you get too drunk, you just start throwing up. You got to get a healthy buzz and chill. And I think that's why drinking is better than smoking weed, because you get that healthy buzz and you chill.
Ooh, I enjoy the buzz of...
Yeah, you know what? I can't say that. I can't say that shit with a straight face.
The only thing I can also say, though, if we just go back for a second, Redman and Method Man do not have the catalog. Like, when I bring up their catalog, they only have, like, 3 songs. Like, they would get dust off by Busta on his...
Well, they'd have to use their
singles. Yeah. That's almost not fair.
Yeah.
But I think Redman has more Rock the Crowd singles than Meth does.
Ooh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As far as crowd rocking single, I think Redman has more hits than Meth does. Meth was just Meth. You know, everybody just loved Meth because it was Meth. Meth had dope shit, but I think Redman had more.
Redman had a way hits. Because of he was more comedic style. I found that he definitely hit mainstream a little bit more than Meth. Not a ton more. Not like, you know, not like a chasm between it, but.
But you know what's crazy? I would argue that Meth is a bigger star than Redman, even though Redman's more commercial.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're not talking about star. That's the point. We're talking about, he just said more Rock the Crowd hits.
Yeah. Yeah,
not
yeah,
even
yeah.
more hits.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel you.
And Method Man, and I'll tell you right now, Method Man did not become a relatable star until he started, because I feel like he had DeKal. So you had 36 Chambers and then DeKal. And with those two albums, Meth had an image that we all just put on him just because, and the image that Meth had off of those,
even on his,
he
like,
betrayed it.
Even
yeah.
on his but fucking the, love track, the one he eye. Got stabbed in one eye, nigga. Like,
it yeah. was so, like, but okay, so not that we bestowed upon him, but I was a kid. This is the Meth is the mysterious, grimiest out of the whole thing, yeah. right? And then, but when you actually look at Meth's real personality, that's not him. And I think after DeKal, he forced himself to keep that. And that's why we have Judgment Day, which was a good album, but there's no hits off. There's no hits off the album. It's a good album. It's not a horrible album. And he even said it himself. He rushed it. He tried to stick
rushed
with the
it.
Same
it took him
with
fucking 10 years.
It was not
from
good.
From DeKal 2000?
DeKal 2000. Keep in mind, his first album came out in 94. Not 10 years, but like, yeah, it came out.
His first album, when did DeKal came out? Like 95.
Was it that late? I thought it was 93, 94.
And DeKal 2000 came out
no,
in 99.
No, because Wu came out in 93.
No, yeah. Wu came out 93? I thought it was 90.
Was 92?
Hold on, let me get this right now. Let me check.
Sometimes it's tough because where we're from, the shit was coming out a lot later than it was really coming out. Let's just say that.
That's true. So DeKal came out, release year was 94. So in Calgary.
Like
95. Yeah, 95, like that's the tough part, right? We got to remember that. I got to brush up on my true history, because years that shit happened for me was probably like a year later than in the States or where, you know?
And then DeKal 2000 came out in 98, right? So that's 4 years. But when I say, but rushed, I don't mean
in my
rushed,
head it
like
was
10. They made him.
I was like, that was so
yeah, you're
long.
Like 10
it was
years.
Such a huge gap. You're like, yo, it's 4 years. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because 4 years of childhood is fucking 10 years long, man.
Yeah.
Well, we started the microwave generation. Let's keep in mind, hip hop is the way it is now because of us.
But I would almost say that it wasn't until Redman lightened up Method Man through the comedy and the How High and all that shit and just the way they played off each other. I think that's what lightened up Meth's image.
For sure.
No, that's my point. That's my point. So that's what brought, I feel like Meth, that's what I was saying. Meth didn't become that relatable star until him and Red got together and Red's like, yo, this is how we really are. Let's like play it out. And then that lightened up of the image.
Which
and
I personally
the whole
hated.
Thing is like we get probably... You didn't like it? I think that's Meth's true personality. Cause when
it might be,
talk,
but
I liked Grimy.
I loved Meth was my favorite in Wu-Tang until... And then even when they came up with How High, I was like, yo, that's a dope-ass track. And then they just became too jokey.
How High was dope.
And then I was like...
I agree.
I like that nigga that was like always like... and had his eyes fucked up.
Yeah, that's why I did that. Yeah, exactly. On your love track, you got stabbed in the eye, nigga.
Yeah,
that's... like half your froze out. And it's
and the crazy thing is, like,
to me, it seemed like it was an evolution, though. To me, it seemed like an evolution.
But even when Meth was his like dark, grimy, he was still the most sought after person in hip hop. Like to the point where like he's the only feature on Biggie's album. Like everybody wanted to work with Meth before even like the Redman shit. Like as a grimy ass,
but you know, Meth was always the second choice
to who?
Dirty. It's just Dirty was always in and out of jail.
People
couldn't get Dirty.
I don't know.
Meth was always, well, for the most part, the second choice. Everybody wanted to get Dirty. It's like Dirty's not available or Dirty didn't show up. It's like Dirty and Meth. We want Dirty and Meth. Right?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't say Dirty was more, then, but like those.
He was more sought. No, he was definitely more sought after than Meth. Dirty was more sought after than Meth. He was just always in jail or always in trouble or always on probation or never showing up. Or he felt it. There's how I don't know how many interviews I watched where they paid all this money for Dirt. And all Dirt did was smoke their weed, drink the liquor, fall asleep in the studio, take the money and leave.
But Meth was a better rapper than Dirty.
Yeah. But Dirty was a better personality than Meth at that time.
And in the beginning, I remember Dirty definitely, because even with Ghetto Superstar and stuff, I think Dirty did take off more than Meth at one point.
But that was way later, though. I would say he became...
Ghetto Superstar.
98?
I was going to say...
Ghetto Superstar, Dirty just walked in on the session and dropped a verse.
Yeah, he did his shit backwards. He dropped the ad-libs first. And then he went back
but not even that though. He wasn't supposed to be on the song. He was in the same studio recording something else and walked in on the studio session.
I thought he was supposed to be on it, and then they were like kind of pissed off because they're like, yo, this nigga's just dropping ad-libs. He's not even fucking rapping. And then like they're like, yo.
No, that was
because that wasn't that the story fantasy. where they had to like force him. They were like, "Yo, nigga, come on, man, you got to drop these." Like, I think they like they had to really talk him was, into being like, "Come on, you got to be a professional about this." Actually, I think that story, which if we ever did the old head show, that's one of the ones that is coverable because that's a funny ass story. That nigga wouldn't do nothing forever. They had to bug him, and he left and came back, and then he would just not.
Like, he did that with Mariah Carey, the fantasy with Mariah Carey, too.
Yeah,
that's the session he's walked in on, but he got the budget and everything like that, and then he did the song, and I think that's the one where they did the ad-libs, and then they had to get him back and pay him more to do the song, and then the video, and then they gave him money to do the video, and then he's like, I want all this money for a wardrobe. And then they gave him all this money for a wardrobe, and he showed up to the video shoot with khakis and no shirt on or something.
Yeah, like
he that.
Just spent all the money and on his own shit and demanded if they wanted him to wear that, they got to bring it. And he already spent the money, and it was crazy. I can't remember the story exactly, but.
Yo, Old Dirty Bastard and Busta.
I could have all the
Dirties
mixed together.
Dude, bring a fucking hologram. Actually, you know what I was going to say? What about Jadakiss?
Give him a fucking shit. Bow.
And Busta Rhymes?
Jada don't have the energy.
I don't know. Jadakiss,
I feel like
Jadakiss figured out this. Jadakiss has the cheat code.
Jadakiss has the cheat code because he was up against Diplomats. It's a whole different cheat code.
I don't know. Jadakiss, I'm not being real. I don't think he would actually beat Busta Rhymes, but I'm just saying Jadakiss found a way to beat niggas.
I don't think he could stand in the same stage. Because if you look at Fabulous, it turns out Fabulous's personality is like a vanilla wafer. This man, real fucking mid fucking lane, just
yeah.
I don't know if he has a sense of humor or what. Like, he may be able to write with a sense of humor, but that's all I know. Jadakiss is dope on the stage, but Busta is just like the most entertaining person in the room when you're in that room. You know what I'm saying? So even if you could be Jadakiss level on verses, but Jadakiss level on verses is only there because we haven't seen Busta level on verses yet. I think, you know what I'm saying? I think Busta may be the Jada may have the cheat code, but Busta has the developer options. You know what I'm saying? He has the developer options of the whole fucking shit. So cheat code, whatever. Busta is the game genie.
I don't know what Busta would. I want to see him. You know who he wanted was T.I. And I thought, and T.I.'s like, fuck no.
Yeah.
Shit, that shit don't make sense. But that was a weird one that Busta would actually even.
Busta and T.I. would
like, Busta
weird.
Wanted that.
But T.I. got T.I. got hits. Yeah, I got hits. And T.I. got shit that will move the crowd,
not
too.
Not Busta type.
But then Busta just like, no. And I think like Busta has shit where it's like the first three measures of the song.
Dead's
and
off.
The crowd is done.
And that's why that's why I think done. That's why I think song-wise, Ludacris is the closest to...
He has those, yeah.
Because, you know...
But what hit... I'm trying to think of Ludacris.
Move, bitch, get out the way.
I was
get
just
going to
say move is one of them. Southern have the hospitality. Boom,
that, yeah, yeah, you got those two.
That's going. That will hit. That will hit.
Maybe. I got hoes, but that's still.
Yeah, that won't. That won't hit. Let's. That will just.
No, but that's good. Like you know, with a fifth track in, yeah. Like filler. You know.
You know what would be good against Busta? EPMD.
What?
EPMD, don't if you bring that. It to Madison Square, EPMD may have some hits that might rock the crowd. EPMD's got some shit.
Yeah, but...
Nah, they ain't standing with Busta, though.
No? No. Well, who's got those hits that three bars in? Like, who has a at least 20 hits that when after the first three bars, you got to put headphones on, noise-canceling headphones, because... The arena's going crazy, jumping and thumping.
I don't know if y'all will agree with this one, and I'm just kind of throwing it out there, but Lil Wayne?
I was thinking Wheezy, too, because mm-hmm. he just has that energy, you know?
He does.
But he's got lots
he'd
of hits,
he'd have to use all of his fucking... He'd have to use a lot of features.
That's what I mean, like...
Wheezy would have to...
I'm trying to think of... Like, you got a Millie, you got a few, but...
Yeah.
Real crowd destroyers, and that would destroy the whole crowd, not the little subsections that like.
He'd have to do like his. He'd it had to be Wheezy and Friends because he had to bring out Make It Rain or Joe from Make It Rain.
Oh, they all
he'd
do
have
that
to
though.
Bring, there, it'd be like a Wheezy.
Even
and Friends
Busta would
thing,
do some like. What's that Busta track he did with Chris Brown?
Busta would bring out
that would like
or the Look at Me Now.
Let me show you how they do
look
this
at me
one.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to do that for the whole podcast, bro. If you could just...
Oh, my God. You,
no, I'm not even thinking
forgot,
of no gay shit, bro.
Fucking
I'm just saying the shit
it,
was hilarious
babe,
when he went boom
what
boom.
You want to touch it? Like,
yo,
you got to break
go,
your neck.
And the
you
remix?
Put your hands
and the
where
remix?
My eyes could see past the Kavassi
oh, yeah.
A. Woo
past the Kavassi A.
Like, who? Give me
wasn't
some
Busta
mo.
On the
make it
the Annie Up remix?
Hit him
he was
high.
On the Annie Up remix, right?
This
I don't know about Hit Him High.
What's wrong with Hit
yo,
Him
High? Yo, Hit Him High.
Hit Him High. That was a good song, man. Stop.
Yo, even like the
but
remix
yo,
of...
High, oh, you mean it off of the Space Jam soundtrack with Redman, Cypress Hill, and Method Man in that?
Yeah.
I Hit Him High.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different song. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking
yo,
of
you remember...
Fuck, you bringing it back. I love
what's
that.
What's the Craig Mack remix?
Oh, Flavin'
Ear
remix? Oh, Flavin' Ear
remix. I'm not even doing features. These are just his songs.
Well...
What do you mean? Hit 'Em High is a feature.
Okay.
Flavin' Ear's remix is a feature.
Well, no, I wouldn't say Hit 'Em High is a feature because it was on a soundtrack.
Well, yeah, but that's not his song.
Whose was it then?
It was just various artists.
Exactly.
It was various
so it
artists.
Was not,
songs.
Okay, so
that's
he,
not his. That's not his song.
Okay,
come
I didn't
on
say it was
now.
His song, but it wasn't anyone else's either. That's my point. So it's usable. I'm saying that shit's usable.
If y'all don't know by now, we are a podcast of semantics and lying by omission.
Yo, facts. Facts.
Bro, and you know what though? Like, even like just ringing off those fucking hits, right? Maybe the Jeanne may not hit in there and shit like that. But like you said, though, past the Kavassier, Dangerous. What was the one where he's dressed up like the white dude? That's Dangerous, right? Like so much. Even the one with Khalees, I love my nigga. I love my bitch.
Touch it, bring it, babe. What you like?
Yo, the Touch It remix. He brings out Mary J. Blige and like, Eve and fucking all them.
Put
it's a
your
rap.
Hands where my eyes can see.
The song with Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be?
A party or not? Yeah, no, that's with Jeanne and Busta Rhymes. Each and every day. We do it
each
our
and every
way.
Day. We do our way. Word
and
of
And if
bomb.
We did features, yo, then you have fucking
remains
here we go,
raw.
Here we go, yo. Here we he go, can come yo. Out with his verse so on what, that, so what, like yo. Fucking raw.
Anything
raw.
He's
like,
done
who
with
doesn't
tribe?
Go psycho with the original raw, raw? Like
leaders, he's got from leaders to the new school till now.
Yeah. Like, you can't
you know
fuck with
saying?
This guy.
This
you know
tough,
what?
Yo.
Back when he, all the joints, remember the joints he had with Who's, Dr. Dre? Like, I can't remember him off jump, but the album that he had when he
was
on Aftermath,
so sick.
That shit was bananas.
It was so, and his lyrics, too. Like, it's not like, even in all through all the day, all of his hits, like, he's never spitting, like, whack shit.
So let me ask this question, then. Why is Busta Rhymes always overlooked when people are talking about their top?
Yeah.
Because I,
no, honestly,
because you have to. There's elements, right? I don't think Busta influenced the game to the point where everybody wanted to be Busta, even right. MCs. Like, if you wanted to be an MC, you wanted to be Jay, you wanted to be Meth, yeah, you wanted to be like. No one was really trying to be Busta. His topical songs lack. Right? Like, that shit where it's, like, fucking just stuff where they talk real shit, street shit, sad shit, you know what I mean? Like, so...
Yeah, even
to
that
the truth,
Rick
you
James
know, but
the
I've heard,
lackluster.
Busta Rhymes talking some real shit. I'm like, yo, he kills that shit, but, like, it just doesn't get the traction like these other niggas, though.
It doesn't, yeah. It's still lack. Like, he talks that shit.
I wouldn't say
it lacks,
but it doesn't, but it's just...
You skip it for past the Kvass.
Not me. I love hearing Busta Rhymes talk that real shit, and I'll... But yeah, I don't know if I could say it last.
What's your
but,
favorite song where he talks real shit?
I can't even. Hold on, it's not even his song. But there's this track on.
Then that's not the answer to the question.
I know.
Just laughed me out of the belly.
Hold on, listen, like I said,
we are a podcast of semantics.
Yo, that was that nigga.
Lying
that was that
by
nigga.
Omission.
I hope I'm.
No, that's all of us, yo. Nigga. That's all, nigga. That's all,
do you,
nigga.
Do you remember that song is on a Nas album where he's talking about how pork is like the devil. Like he just breaks
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah, that's off of The Godson.
No,
nah,
it wasn't
Godson. Album,
it was like one of those. Maybe the N album. Remember Nas had an album?
Could be. I know which one you're talking about.
But
yeah,
he's like breaking down
that shit on
pork
there. Yeah.
And it's like got some...
It lyrically
it's like
killed
some,
it.
Some real like Muslim like Chiquina wants.
Man went real 5%er.
Yeah.
Mad went from 5%er to the top.
Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, this nigga could really like get in there. But it's like, it's a track nobody talks about. Nobody even really knows. Like, he can do that shit. It's not like he lacks in it, but for whatever reason, people don't want to hear
hit.
It from him. Like,
well, Busta's our generation's fucking Schoolie D. Schoolie D was a gangster. Who's Dougie Fresh? You know what I'm saying? Dougie Fresh was like Dougie Fresh gets mad respect, but Dougie Fresh wasn't a conscious or make you think. Like, Dougie Fresh was just like, if you want a party, listen to Dougie Fresh. Now Busta kind of changed that up because Busta does have. Mad lyrics. Busta does say shit that makes you think, but the shit that hits with Busta is that Busta knows how to move a crowd, whether he's there or not. Busta just moves the fucking crowd. You will never go wrong with Busta. All DJs have a Busta Rhymes thing in their set. If you're an EDM DJ, you have the EDM version of Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See. Everybody has a Busta Rhymes track in their set because they know you can't fail with Busta. And I think that's why I think you're right, Idol, because Busta doesn't have that much conscious shit. B, his conscious shit, you skip it. Like, remember that In the Ghetto, that's the only thing I can think of is In the Ghetto with him and Rick James.
But you skip it, but it's not like it's whack, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't know why
Bam.
People don't look for him for that, because he can do it well. But for whatever reason,
bam, you can have the flyest bitch, and you got 10 minutes in the flyest bitch's city. You don't want to go out to dinner, not because she's not a good conversationalist. It's just you ain't got time for it.
That was actually one of your stretches that actually made sense.
Yeah, sometimes I stretch, fam. Sometimes,
you stretch a lot,
podcast,
but sometimes it makes sense.
So, what do you mean I stretch a lot? I stretch occasionally.
Fair enough.
I'm an occasional stretcher.
You're like half a yogi.
I'm half a yogi. I'm a yo. Yeah.
But also, it would actually be interesting to kind of do a little bit more of a comparison. Again, like sometimes I think that's this is something that a hip hop show would, you know, do some deep diving. But when I look up even Busta Rhymes with his accolades, he never ever gets over the hump. Like he's got like 12 nominations, but he never won because in 1997, even though he had Wooha. Still, Lauryn Hill, that album was tough. Like, I just feel like there's always something that kind of overshadowed him for the year.
What about his second album when he did that song with Janet Jackson? I felt like he was on top of the world that album. Like, I thought he was the biggest hip-hop star.
And he
star.
Was all over. Busta Rhymes was a huge star then.
What's it going to be? And, it got and nominated for rap performance by duo or group. And that album got nominated for best rap album.
Who won then?
Who won?
Who's he going against? In the world back then.
I feel like it was Hard Knocks Life that he went against on that. I could be wrong though. But I feel like he was on the Hard Knocks Life tour with that.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out.
That's crazy because Busta needs to be.
Yo, when he dropped that jack, Busta, that was the most expensive.
The Marshall Mathers LP.
Damn.
See, it is always something.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. That, at the time, that was like the most expensive music video ever.
Which one?
The Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson.
What's going to be the hype?
That was the first time it was $1 million video. That was the first $1 million video ever.
Really? I thought Wu had the first milli video.
Who?
Which one?
Wu-Tang.
Oh.
Wu-Tang? Yeah, one of
with
those.
Triumph?
Yeah,
with Triumph? Triumph.
Keep in mind, Busta Rhymes and Janet was before Triumph.
Somebody talk. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Nah, I made my point. So you got a rebuttal.
Nigga, it's a podcast. Say something.
That's your job.
I'm looking something up, nigga. Like, say, talk, nigga. Please, help. Help me.
This is the first time Will doesn't want
to. Are we not on the same? We on the same team. What do you mean? I don't want to say
nothing. This is the first time Will wants someone else to speak.
My guy, you didn't say any. God, you didn't say anything cultivating. You said something that I want to look up because if it was. Like, I'm not saying it wasn't.
I'm just used to you doing all the talking, nigga. I don't know what to do.
Not like you said anything riveting. Nigga, I'm looking at my fucking. I didn't do much talking this one because y'all niggas had some dope ass motherfucking talking.
I will give you today. So what did you find?
Let's cut this nigga's
mic
off.
I'm looking up.
I don't know, nigga. I'm trying to, nigga. You distracted me with semantics and lying by omission. Let me just see if I can find
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully that was enough.
I think you might be right, though. I think you might be right.
I know I'm right. Because I want to say that Janet Jackson shit came out in 98, 99. And then, no. I'm off on that. Because Triumph came out in like 96.
98
Triumph came out 98 99. But I just remember seeing that like as a headline that first $1 million video.
Oh, because the Triumph video cost about $800,000 to make. So,
which is crazy.
I thought it was a million because I remember hearing back then, but maybe just even being close to a million was like big time.
But I see this thing. This is off of it's the official at .wordpress.com. So I don't think this is like a credited website. It looks like something my uncle put together. But it says celebrating the release of the DVD, the Shooter Series Volume 1, Complex. The director reveals to Complex that the Wu-Tang Clan's Triumph video cost $1 million. It was the first $1 million rap video. When Steve Rifkin asked me, are you sure about this record? There's no chorus. He says, trust me, it's going to be the biggest record of the year. I don't feel like that's true because they said the same thing about the first single off of 36 Chambers. So I don't think they say it again that, oh, it's no chorus because Wu made history off of no chorus video. So that may not be it. And I do remember seeing something about, why are you showing me Ted DiBiase? Million Dollar Man. But I do remember seeing something about that Hype Williams video where like it did set a record for being one of the like the most expensive music video at the time it came out and set the standard for all music videos, not just hip hop at that point. So,
and I remember, I just distinctly remember at the time hearing it was the first $1 million video, like video that cost $1 million. What? Now I look it up officially, they say 800,000. So maybe they were just being semantic at the time. Because you know, they were like, yeah, like a million, kid. Like, you know what I mean? Double, it's easy to say like a million when you spent 800 plus.
Yeah, yeah. What song came out first, though? Did Triumph come out before the Janet Jackson one?
You know, it's crazy, though, while you look that up. Triumph is or Triumph and the Janet Jackson What's It Gonna Be videos, $1 million videos. Now, we can recreate the What's It Gonna Be video on an iPad.
Yeah. I know. It's insane. It's insane.
It is. It's crazy. I was watching it the other day. I'm like, yo, these graphics are whack as fuck. Like, who turned Janet Jackson into the T-2000? Why would you do that shit? Or
yo, even shit like The Matrix is like...
Yeah.
You watch that shit now, crazy, and you're like, shit, this was like groundbreaking at its time. And like, I try to show these kids like, yo, this is the greatest action film, like top five in my opinion. They're like, really? Marvel does a better job than this. You're like, yes, but fuck.
Yeah. Yo, we had a family movie night the other day. We were watching The Mask. And all Gabby kept saying is, that's fake.
Yeah, because yeah, back into the, yeah.
That's fake. You're like, this is the most groundbreaking shit ever.
We love the Mask movie. Back like, so we got any more?
Did you find out? No, I'm good. I think we hit the 120. I'm good.
I'm good.
Y'all have a topic for a mini-sode, or are we going to skip it for next week?
I thought we were doing a battle breakdown.
Yeah, but did y'all watch the battle?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Of course.
Oh, we're at the
I thought it was supposed to be the point. Well,
I thought
we were going to
talk. I didn't think the mini-sode was the battle breakdown. I thought we were going to talk about how we're going to, like, what type of platform we're going to do the battle breakdown on.
You brought up doing a mini-sode, and I suggested the battle. And then you're like,
and you said, yeah, we could run with that.
And then you sounded like you were a little unsure, like, how we were going to do it.
How we're going to do it, yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah,
it's definitely something about it. We started talking about how we should do it.
No, I don't know Ever Say Nothing. I don't know. Hey, man,
from the very beginning. If I don't say nothing, that means I'm doing it and I'll fucking be there. Wow. That's what I've always said. I've always stood for that. I've always said, unless I call and say otherwise, I'm good to go at the scheduled time. I'm not a flaky ass nigga. I will always try to call at least at try.
No. No one said that you weren't going to be there.
We're not talking about the battle thing.
We didn't know if you watched.
Yeah, because me and Daddy were going back and forth about if we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, if it's the mini-sode and things like that. So.
There you go. Boom. If y'all down, I'd like to do a battle review. Will Hayes, I'm down for that. Mm-hmm. So let's do the battle review.
Nigga,
you watched it?
Keep going, nigga. There's more. Nigga, there's more. They're lying by omission. No, then there's more. Okay. Nigga, there's
so
more.
Then he posts the battle.
Yes.
Then you're like, you want to do that for the mini-sode?
That's not what I said. Where's my phone? That's not what I said.
Then you're like, this is not the conversation. I'm thinking we should do something new and run it on stream. It's going to be tough for the pod because they can't see or hear it. But if we run it like I thought you want me to finish, nigga. But if we run it like a breakdown, like we do the albums, it could work. Jay Thaddeus. Yeah, like an album breakdown.
And what else did I say?
He said, just an idea, not sure the best format to do it.
I like how he just...
I definitely think it's something we should explore. He stops when it works.
So between me and Will, I was like, yo, it's a dope idea. We want to do it. We didn't agree on like how it's going to be done. We have no idea what Idol's thinking. But I was like, just showed up. I watched the battle. I'm ready to go.
Nigga, that's the Idol way.
Yeah, we have idea what I was thinking.
He's like, I stopped.
We know that he's going to be here and he's going to talk about something. That's what we know.
Okay, so Idol, who won the battle?
Well, are we going to do it as a mini-sode or are we just doing it as the end of the smoke?
No, we're running it as a mini-sode, and because we could do the battle as a mini-sode. I'd like to hear what you guys say.
Should we wrap up smoke?
And I have a question.
So you might have to cut that out, Will. Sorry.
It's all good. But yo.
What?
Or are you just keeping this?
You like how I'm telling Will it's all good. We'll got it. Quickly, should we go over the Wu-Tang shit? The saga continues. I wanted to discuss that, some of the performances.
Do you want to go? Do you want to go over? Do you want to do the Wu-Tang thing and the battle in the minisode? Since I didn't watch the Wu-Tang thing and Will didn't watch the battle, so Thaddy gets to run the minisode.
Yeah, I.
We can do you that. Watch both, Ning?
I gotta cut this out because I don't want people on the.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's why I said. Let's but no, but at the end of the day, they'd be smoke. Like, "That's why I said that."
They might say, "I want to hear what they're talking about on the minisode, though. I want to hear what they feel about this battle." And so, who's the battle? Daylight versus
Killer Jones.
Killer Jones.
Okay, so we're doing Daylight versus Killer Jones on the minisode. We're also talking about Chilla.
Yeah.
See, Killer Jones.
Yeah.
Boss Town. Huh.
And we're also going to talk about Wu-Tang American Saga series 2. What do you call that?
Season 2, volume 2.
Thank you. Season 2 on the minisode. And I have a question from my two esteemed colleagues. So we're going to do that. So the minisode is going to hit after this, but let's wrap up the smoke where they can
Yo, it's your boy Idol. You can find me at Idol.
Yes.
And at Idolverse. Chip.
It's your boy Thaddy, so you can find me after Idol stops, fucking up where you can find him.
As he stammers, say it.
I try to be smooth.
And I was not letting it pass because you were trying. I was not letting it pass. You got to boy, come Daddy, correct.
You can find me after our,
not correct. Correct. Our, at least, nigga.
You can find me at your local library. If not, you can...